The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the other 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I still have Lydia's Hello Kitty Band-Aids with me. It's true, like we talked about with the children, that Band-Aids can be useful if you have a little cut or a sore. They can protect the wound and keep the germs out so that it will heal faster. And the children in my class at preschool really love having those Band-Aids on their wounds. Whether it is a big cut or something very tiny and insignificant, it seems to help them feel better faster if they have a Band-Aid on their cut. One day we had some Angry Birds Band-Aids at school, and I had this little boy who loves Angry Birds, and when he saw those Band-Aids, he wanted a Band-Aid. So every 5 minutes he was coming with a little bump or a bruise or an owl. And I finally decided, you know, that it will be easier just to put a Band-Aid on him than to try to keep explaining to him why he doesn't need it. Now, I know I could have been opening up a whole other can of worms if all the 12 other kids wanted a Band-Aid, too, but luckily the rest of them were not interested. But you do see these Band-Aids now that are in every color of the rainbow, festooned with all these cartoon characters, even when just a plain old one will do the same job. And you know, there are even Christian Band-Aids. And I bought Lydia some of these when she was really small. They had pictures of angels on them, and it had healing scriptures printed on the Band-Aid. So literally, you can apply the Word of God directly to your wound. And she really, really liked these Band-Aids, until one day Daddy came home with some that had Disney princesses on them. But again, like we said with the children, there are some kind of hurts that a Band-Aid just won't fix. You can't just put a Band-Aid on a broken arm. A Band-Aid may come later, but it's not the first thing you need when you have a deep wound that requires stitches or staples. And a Band-Aid doesn't help heal hurt feelings, or a broken heart, or a broken dream. God is the only one who can heal those hurts. Our first lesson from Isaiah 53 is all about what Jesus won for us on the cross. And in terms of all kinds of healing, it's the finest scripture to study. Isaiah writes, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. All of Isaiah 53 is about Jesus' saving work on the cross. It appears in the New Testament, where Matthew quotes it in his gospel. Peter quotes it in his letter. When you want to talk about being washed in the blood, this is the scripture to meditate on. It's a study of salvation. So let's look at how Isaiah breaks it down for us. Starting in verse 5, we read, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." This is the first part of salvation. And most of us who've been in the church a while understand it. Jesus died for our sins. But the English word salvation does not communicate all that the original Hebrew word means, or even the original Greek word in the New Testament means. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, I know that's a mouthful, it says salvation denotes deliverance, preservation, material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. So the biblical word for salvation implies not just the salvation of our soul, but also deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Salvation is this big, inclusive word of the good news. It sums up all those churchy words that we learn in Sunday school. Justification, redemption, grace, forgiveness, sanctification. When we say that word salvation, we're saying all of that. We are set free from sin in all of its forms and manifestations. Because God so loved the world, he gave himself to redeem us. This isn't just a band-aid. Jesus' blood doesn't just cover up our sins. It completely obliterates them. It makes them, in God's eyes, as if they never happened. There's no sin so great that Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary will not cancel it and wipe it away as if that sin had never been. The power of God cleanses us and changes us until there's no trace of our old self or our old sins. When we are, as some people say, born again or baptized, we become a new person, a new creature. Our new spirit is recreated in God's image. We don't just have God's righteousness as a band-aid over us. When we accept Jesus' sacrifice, God looks at us as we are just as righteous as Jesus is. And it's not just our sins. We're not just forgiven the bad things we do, but also the bad things that are done to us. The effects of sin in our lives are washed away by the blood. Jesus' sacrifice is enough to obliterate every trace of sin, whether done by us or to us in our lives. That means we are completely set free. Sometimes we're only enjoying part of our redemption. Isaiah spells out all the implications of the freedom God brings. He states in verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." On the cross, Jesus bore our griefs and sorrows. Jesus wants us redeemed from fear, mental anxiety, depression, anything that keeps your mind from enjoying peace. We don't have to rely on tranquilizers. Jesus has already paid the price on the cross for us to be whole in our mind and to enjoy peace. We don't need to continue to carry and hold on to the griefs and sorrows that were crucified with Jesus on the cross. Isaiah goes on to say, "The chastisement needful to obtain our peace was upon him." Because of Jesus' blood, we obtain peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, thriving, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord, to be complete, perfect, and full. That's what that word peace in the Bible means, all of that. The covenant we have with Jesus provides peace, this complete wholeness where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. His peace encompasses every area of our lives, physical healing and emotional healing. And that brings us to the end of Isaiah's verse 5. By his stripes we are healed. When Jesus bore away our sins, he bore away our diseases. The cross pronounced a complete cure for all the ills of humankind. The cross makes us just as free from sickness as we are free from sin. Now we know, as Christians, even after we're baptized, we continue to sin. But we still believe we're saved. And when we do sin, we do as St. John writes. We confess our sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So likewise, even after we're baptized, we continue to get sick. But we've still been redeemed from sickness. Jesus paid the price for healing on the cross. So sickness doesn't exert dominion over us anymore. If we can just accept the fact that just as surely Jesus bore our sins, he also bore our diseases, our weakness, our pains, our sorrows, we don't have to bow down to symptoms of sickness any longer. Surely he has borne our sicknesses. Jesus bore sin and sickness in order for us to go free. If we want to think about God's will for us, think about the Garden of Eden. There was no sin in the Garden of Eden until the fall. And before the fall, there was no sickness either. God has always wanted his people to be well. Sin was the root from which sickness came. Just like sin is the manifestation of spiritual death, sickness is the manifestation of physical death. John writes that Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. Jesus didn't just give us partial redemption. By his stripes you are healed is not just a promise. It's a fact. It's already taken place on the cross. Jesus bore sickness away from us. By his stripes, you were healed. Just as there's no sin so great that Jesus' blood cannot wipe it away, there's no disease so devastating to the human body that the same sacrifice at Calvary will not cancel it and wipe it away and heal that body as though sickness had never been. Sometimes that healing happens here on earth. Sometimes we experience it in heaven. But to sum up these verses, when Jesus redeemed us, he redeemed our whole self. Righteousness for our nature. Joy and peace for our emotions and our minds. Healing for our bodies. The cross is so powerful, it left nothing in force that came upon us because of sin. Back further in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, Israel used a scapegoat. The priest laid hands on a real goat and symbolically put the sins of the people onto the goat and then sent it away into the wilderness, away from the people. So symbolically, the goat carried the sins away. That's what Jesus did with our sins, with our griefs, with our sorrows, with our sicknesses. He has borne them away from us. So, how do we live in the reality of these verses. Just by faith, we keep confessing the promises until the problems obey. The gospel is the good news of what Jesus did for every one of us on the cross. He bore our sins so we do not have to bear them. Now we are forgiven. He bore our diseases so we do not have to bear them. We can be healed now. He bore our griefs and sorrows. That's what the good news is, the good news of what Jesus did for all of us. God wants us well. God wants us healthy and strong in every single area of our lives. God wants us spiritually strong, strong in faith, strong in the Word, strong in God's love. God wants us to be well in our minds, to be strong and stable emotionally. God wants our bodies well. God wants us to be free from the bondages of pain. Our Heavenly Father wants us well. And what's more, in this day and hour, He needs us well. He needs us to be strong enough that we can teach others how to turn to Him also. He wants us to be healthy and strong as a witness in these last days to a world that's filled with terror, to be witnesses of His love, His grace, and His power. So the cross of Christ is not just a Band-Aid. It doesn't just cover up sin. Jesus is not a Band-Aid that covers up. He gives us total deliverance, spirit, soul, and body. Today, accept Jesus' sacrifice totally. Today, accept all that His blood won for you on the cross.